Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts, sports journalist David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves, chillin', talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd. It's Season 9, Episode 2, Dave. And we're, about four practices in. The Steelers have put the pads on. And the big news coming out over the weekend is the Steelers dodged a bullet, or more specifically, Ramon Foster apparently dodged a bullet and is not, fortunately, not out for the season. It's a significant knee injury. Looks like he's going to miss training camp with a hyperextended bone bruise and sprain, you know, kind of, you know, a mixed bag, but no big damage.
Boy, and how huge was that, right? I mean, immediately when you see these things or hear or watch social media when this stuff happens and you see the reaction, you see the body language and the cart comes out and you can't put pressure on it. I mean, over the years, you just taught to fear the worst. And with that said, it's always good to wait. I mean, Mike Tomlin didn't rush to any conclusions. He probably didn't know much of anything immediately after that practice.
Yeah, right. He hadn't walked off the field yet, so you're not going to know anything, which is good, right?
Right. So, nice. You know, you just keep your fingers crossed and go from there. And luckily, word started to circulate the next day that it was a hyperextended knee, bone bruise, and it sounds like, you know, he's going to miss the rest of training camp and probably all four preseason games. But even Art Rooney II said yesterday afternoon on Steelers Live that, you know, hopeful that he's going to be able to make it back for the regular season opener and go from there. And so in the meantime, you're going to have B.J. Finney taking the reps at left guard and you know, probably if one or two other guys get a few extra reps along the way here. And, yeah, they did dodge one because, you know, like it or not, look, I mean, I know people will fire over to me right away these grades from Pro Football Focus about Ramon Foster last year. Look, I see him. I've subscribed to Pro Football Focus for 5 years or however long now. I like a lot of what Pro Football Focus does, but you know, some of the grades I disagree with, and I don't think Ramon Foster was as bad as that site seems to make him out last year. Now, when I go into a game, one guy I'm not overly worried about is Ramon Foster. I've always called him Mr. Consistent over the years, and especially when it comes to pass protection. Yes, he's not overly mobile, but, I mean, we've seen him be able to pull and run the power to the right side and all. With that said, you know, I think you're a better team with Ramon Foster than you are without him. So, you know, take it from there.
Okay, and now we're going to have a little side note here since we drew people into the podcast. And let me just say one thing. Dave and I have been considering some different things with the podcast in year 9. We talk about this frequently off air. We occasionally bring it up on air. But, you know, the media world's changing and things we're doing are changing. And we're trying to come up with better ways maybe to monetize the podcast. So this is your opportunity to email us at the Terrible Podcast. I didn't look it up.
It's theterriblepodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, right. theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. We're thinking about a couple different things. Patreon, maybe putting an episode behind the paywall, maybe the Wednesday Beat Writer episode. Look, I know nobody likes to pay for anything, right? I get it. Dave and I, you know, Dave's been working the site for, you know, a million years and he doesn't charge for it. It's a ton of free content. Advertising comes with that. We don't do any advertising on the podcast. We consider that as well. We ask for donations, and certainly Dave and I appreciate everybody's generosity throughout the years. But it's, you know, it trickles in, to be honest with you. We've had a couple kind of patrons who have been fantastic and significant contributors. But, you know, most we understand it, and most people don't contribute, and it's been a free thing. But it may not always be a free thing. And please email us your thoughts on this because it's something, you know, that I think it's a valuable product. We look and see other people charging for products and services that I don't think are nearly as valuable as the stuff we do on the podcast. So your input to this is significant. Feel free to donate to the show, as always, on the, with the donate button on the site, or you know, you can send us an email. We can figure out how to do it other ways if that way is not the right way for you. But it is something that we've thought about. I'm going to make another push here into season 9 to figure out what's the best way for us to do things, because as I start doing something different here going forward, it's going to be this is going to be an important part of my time, and I'm going to cut time out for it. But you know, we may have to try to monetize it in some way. I know it's not an easy conversation. I know the reflex of action of most people is, well, the hell with those guys. I'm not paying for content. And that's fine. We understand that. But any feedback that you have to us, we would appreciate it. TheTerriblePodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Yeah, and you know, even if it's as simple as, you know, there's probably some of you out there listening that maybe have your own podcast in a different field or whatnot, or have heard or listened to other ones that use different affiliate programs that have pre-rolls and mid-roll ads and all like that. If you know a good one of those, send a link along as well too. The problem is I'm so busy with my site, and I'm so busy with the podcast when I'm not with the site, that it takes time to research all these things to find out what's the best one for us to use, whether it's like David said, you'll hide an episode behind a Patreon paywall or something like that. You know, we just don't have a time to really to research it like I properly should. So if anybody has any ideas of the best way probably to roll forward with this, definitely let us know.
Yeah, and you know, just some of the different thoughts, as Dave said, you know, maybe we charge a small amount and put you know, the Wednesday episode behind a wall and it costs $2 a month. Or, you know, we thought about putting the whole thing behind the wall and charging, you know, $5 to $10 a month, which would be, if you do 12 podcasts a month, it's obviously less than $1 a podcast. I don't think that's unreasonable to ask, but again, we'd like to hear the feedback from you on these types of things. All right, back to your regularly scheduled programming. Dave, let me ask you this question. Obviously, losing a starter is a problem for any team at any position, because the biggest issue is you eat into the depth. And the Steelers lost Chris Hubbard in the offseason as he goes to the Browns for a very nice contract to be their one of their starting tackles. Who do you think today is the better football player, B.J. Finney or Ramon Foster?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. You know, have we seen enough of B.J. Finney to be able to answer that, though? He's had some very nice starts, and I've said for quite a while now, I think B.J. Finney is a better left guard than he is a center. Now, the problem is we haven't seen a lot of him at center during his NFL career. I mean, we've seen some, and it hasn't been overly attractive. Or as good as his play at left guard. Now, a couple of those starts that Finney has had and played well in has been against the Chiefs. Is it because of their front? You know, does that have a lot to do with it? Is he a good football player? Yes. Am I concerned anymore when B.J. Finney has to make a start in place of Ramon Foster at left guard? No. Do I like the way he moves out in space and in pulling? Yes. Do I think Ramon Foster's still better pass protector than B.J. Finney? Yes. So, you know, am I comfortable with him? Yes. Do I want to go ahead and throw Ramon Foster out with the bathwater right now? No.
You think Ramon Foster gets a, is? Let me put it this way. Is this Ramon Foster's last season as a Steeler?
Yes, and I think it is, and I've written, you know, I've included the note in a few articles about Ramon Foster about how he is 32. This is the final year of his current contract. The Steelers don't normally, you know, that's not high priority. You know what I'm saying? So, in other words, even before this injury, it was very unlikely that Ramon Foster was going to see a contract extension before the start of the regular season, correct? I mean, even the last time his contract was up, it went on into right before the start of the free agency, right? And that's when he re-signed a 3-year deal. And in fact, he had to, in my opinion, at the time, take a little bit less than what I thought perceived market value was with him. He's not getting any younger.
I do think your point is well taken there. That I have to say, I was probably the same. it felt like Ramon was going to go. He was going to be gone on this last contract. The Steelers weren't going to get to a deal with him. And maybe he did take a couple dollars. You know, we don't remember, I don't think, often when maybe a player takes maybe a dollar less to stay with the Steelers. But it felt like that might have been the case with Ramon.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it was, to me, it was kind of, in my opinion, it was, you know, maybe a million and a half or so less than what I think he may have could have gotten somewhere else. So now, you know, you tend to love your own a little bit more than the others, you know. So maybe there was a little bit of bias involved in that. Maybe it's, that's exactly what his market value was. But I mean, look, we're dealing with a player that, you know, you don't think of top left guards in the league. First name, you know, Ramon Foster doesn't come to mind, right? In general conversation, but
right. Right.
However common, as I like to say, I mean, there have been some seasons where you kind of wrinkle your nose a little bit saying, yeah, I think he was probably one of the better left guards in the league.
And you might even say one of the Steelers' better offensive linemen. I mean, look, the Steelers have been very consistently good the past couple of years across the O-line. I think, you know, one of the things, even in the Super Bowl years, the O-line was a question mark. And a lot of that's because, look, they suffered a lot of injuries. And the past couple of years, knock on wood, they've been healthier than in years past. But, you know, I think Ramon graded out awfully well last year.
And not according to Pro Football Focus, he didn't.
He did not on Pro Football Focus. Oh, I thought he did actually. He and DeCastro both graded out very well, I thought, last year. I stand corrected.
Yeah, that was kind of my rant there to start the show with him, and I'll pull it up here while we're talking here with him. But yeah, I mean, I viewed his play as being a lot better than what Pro Football Focus. And, I mean, we can get all into this.
He was responsible for one sack last year, or maybe even one pressure. Maybe I'm getting my years wrong. I felt like Ramon's numbers were really good in terms of sacks and pressures.
Overall, PFF's grade on him was 48.1, which is poor.
Poor.
Obviously, it's in the red there. So, you know, he doesn't give up a lot of sacks or pressures, period.
Right.
You could probably nick him on some block, on some run blocking, but even then, you know, you get into this whole semantics thing with Pro Football Focus and how do they grade, and, you know, not knowing the assignment and all like that. I think they do amazing work when it comes to stats like, you know, snaps and stuff that doesn't need subjectiveness.
Right. You know, yards after contact, you know, in the run game and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think they do an amazing job of that. And I think for the most part, they do a good job overall with grades. But, I mean, we really still don't know the whole scope of how they grade. And when you have 40 people grading, you're not going to get all of them to grade the right way. Here is his overall grade as far as their point system goes. -13.4 overall. With that, they have his pass blocking as a dead even zero, and they have his run blocking as a -15.4. So, you know, and then penalties 2.6 positive grade there. You know, they have him down as last year as his run blocking being the worst of his career and not even close. The year before in 2016, they have it as 12.2. They have his overall grade in 2016 of being 29.8. And that obviously being the best of his career. And that's why there was a lot of talk. Well, did Ramon Foster get snubbed, you know, from the Pro Bowl and all. Last year they charged him with two sacks. I think Alex only had him down for one. They only had him down for five quarterback hits and 23 total quarterback hurries. So, you know, I think they were a little rough on him last year on the run block in the run blocking department, and probably not as favorable as they could have been on the pass blocking department. But look, this is the same site that I just took issue with this past week about talking about putting snap numbers out there for Sean Davis at free safety last year that just weren't there. And even Sean Davis came out this past week and said, yeah, this whole free safety thing's new to me. So, you know, you're going to put out that he had all these snaps at free safety, and Sean Davis said he's basically never played free safety. There's a big discrepancy, and there's a problem there.
Fair enough. Okay, so the Steelers dodge a bullet. Now Ramon Foster is going to get probably about exactly the same amount of practice time as Le'Veon Bell coming into the season.
Well, let me ask you, do you think Ramon's gone after this year?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think there's any question.
If he does return, it's got to be on kind of like a one-year minimum or an at-minimum deal. And it's, to me, that's not a decision that you're going to make this year. It's going to be after the season and before free agency or after the start of free agency after he looks around, right?
I mean, Ramon Foster's staring right at the Will Gay, Mike Mitchell, you know, Arthur Motes. You know, he's – hey, he's 32. What is he? What is he now? 32.
I think. I mean, look, he's one of the few guys, very, very few guys that was on the 2000 and the team that went to the Super Bowl against the Packers. I mean,
yeah. Well, the thing that you'll do, look, we'll see. We'll look. They're going to get a nice long look at B.J. Finney. You'll see how the other guys come along. And then you say, look, if Ramon wants a two-year, $3 million deal, the type that Robert Golden and some of these other guys were signed to, and say, look, we'll keep you around because you're an offensive lineman. Age is less of an issue for you than it's going to be for a running back or a receiver or, a defensive back. We'll keep you around, and you can battle for the starting job and because you're an unbelievably good team guy and locker room guy. So all those things, we'll keep you around if you want. But, it's going to have to be, I'm sure for the Steelers in this case, it'll have to be on their term. Because I will say, they have Finney, but you would imagine if they decide to move on for, some of that may depend on, where they go in the draft and what their thoughts are. Because, we've already identified positions of need, for the next draft. I mean, a receiver is going to be a position of need. Certainly linebacker. And you can argue, you may have multiple needs. That linebacker is going to be a position of need. Hopefully the secondary is not a position of need next year. But offensive line could be, when we talk about where they go with their first three picks, that could be, a direction they go. And that could be, that could impact Ramon's future with the Steelers. But I would guess he is not with the team.
Any chance at all they cut him this year?
No, zero. I mean, I really would put it at zero.
Yeah, I would put it at 99.9% that they don't, obviously. And I'm not advocating such, but I mean, he has missed a few games over the years, chest injury, whatever, he's probably good to miss a couple this year, right?
Look, to be honest with you, the target's back for, game one, if he's healthy, he's healthy. If he's not, he's not. I mean, you have a sense of how these things go, and doctors, have seen enough of them that you can take an estimate, but if he missed week one, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, I'm not advocating, I've called Ramon Mr. Consistency over the course, I think, the last 3 years or whatnot. So I think they can get one more year out of him. But on the flip side, I wouldn't be surprised if he only plays in 12 games, So very smart, very well liked, leader in that locker room on top of it. So that's worth something as well, too. And, here's the thing. We're going to see a lot of B.J. Finney now at left guard, and really how much do you want to do that, being how he's your backup center? Well, one thing that Alex and I have been talking at the nightly podcast the last few days is you never know who the guy is, the one or two guys every year that you say, man, that guy doesn't have a chance at all, and then lo and behold, you're 53, that guy's on it. The whole Matt Filer, the whole Mike Hilton kind of thing. Larson Graham is getting a lot of snaps now at left guard second team and some third team right guard snaps. Is this going to you're going to see a lot of these guys, and I think there's a reason to take a good look at these guys during the preseason as well, especially with Foster, not going to see time.
Right. Obviously, that's the silver lining anytime a guy's out. Look, Le'Veon Bell's out. You're going to get to see a hell of a lot of James Conner and Samuels. Foster's out. You're going to see a hell of a lot of B.J. Finney and, and you know, the other guys behind him. So it's you know, the silver lining to guys not practicing. And look, Ben missed the practice, and so obviously you see Landry and Mason Rudolph in different situations. Morgan Burnett's out, so obviously Edmonds gets to run with the first team for a while. So you know, it's not all negatives. You don't want guys to get hurt, but you know, they get a chance to look at all these guys, and you get a chance to look at these guys with different people around them, which makes it a little bit different.
All right, let's talk about a few other injuries now. We got past the Ramon one, and lo and behold, on Sunday, several players were unable to finish the training camp practice, and Mike Tomlin ran down that laundry list after practice was over. He says, let me find my place here. We had a number of guys go off with a variety of injuries or ailments today. More information on those guys as we get it. Juju Smith-Schuster, that was undisclosed, but Juju was out. Catching passes from Ben Roethlisberger after practice was over. Ola Adeniyi, the rookie undrafted free agent out of Toledo, left practice yesterday. Alex seems to think that maybe that might be concussion protocol related, so it doesn't seem like there's anything hopefully serious there. Sean Davis wasn't able to finish with a tight groin, so you know. You know me, I hate to speculate about groins, but that'll probably cost them a couple of days there. T.J. Watt left with a tight hamstring, so we'll have to see what happens on Monday there. Look, they practice today and they have Tuesday off, so you might want to be careful with a few guys and give them today off. Give them Tuesday, of course, off, and then see what you have on Wednesday. Vance McDonald, David, back on the list with a foot. We don't know the severity on that, but boy, if there's one guy that you just hate to see show up on these lists, it's him. You know, Alex and I have changed his name to If He Can Stay Healthy McDonald.
Right. And the reality is, you know, I am not a believer in that injuries are chronic if there are two different parts of the body and occur in different ways and for different reasons. But I do think it's fair to say some guys are more injury prone, or their bodies are just built a little differently. And so they end up getting, you know, their greater risk of injury. And at some point, you know, I do hate putting people into this category, but man, if you're going to put somebody in this category, Vance McDonald might be the poster boy for that, because I don't know that he's ever gotten through a season of his career, you know, healthy. So yeah, I never like to see that with a guy who, you know, as you say, you already is wearing the nickname.
And man, you know, if the guy can't, I mean, look at the things you could potentially do with this guy. And, you know, we talked about if there's one breakout candidate or one guy that rebound, one guy really helped the offense, you know, it's going to be Vance McDonald. You know, the way Randy looks like he's possibly going to use a fully healthy Vance McDonald this year. they've had zero luck with tight ends since Heath Miller retired. You had the whole Ladarius Green thing. You had one good game out of Ladarius Green, and he only dressed for like, what, five or six games during that one season. Last season, Vance misses all those games with, let's see if I can rattle this off, back, ankle, shoulder, was it foot? One of them. I lose track with all the dings that he had. Or knee was one of them. With Vance McDonald there. So man, like I said, just one guy that you just wish you could get through a whole training camp with. And mind you, this is really, I mean, this is his first training camp with the Steelers, because he missed all of it last year. The Steelers didn't trade for him until right before the regular season. So this time is very important for him on top of it, because how many, probably Ben wasn't around much during the off season. So, you know, this is the very important time, I think, now for him to build some, I'm hearing some echo there. So building some camaraderie and learning some few details, getting on the same page with Ben Roethlisberger. So you just hate to see him on that list. And one final note, Morgan Burnett still sidelined with a hamstring tightness or what have you. I just hit me this morning. You remember 2014, Mike Mitchell's first season with the Steelers? He was on PUP with a groin. So what is it with these veteran safeties and getting off to a rough start with the Steelers in training camp? You need these guys to be able to come in and get some practice time and get the communication down and all like that, and Morgan Burnett's just not seeing the field yet.
Yeah, you know, it's early enough that I don't worry too much about these things. But, you know, Mike Mitchell, you know, you hear at the end of the season when Carnell like tells us 2 years back, I guess it was at the draft, that, you know, Mike Mitchell had two, you know, both groins were pretty severely injured. And, you know, when you get dinged early in camp, you hope these, and this is why I think guys are extra careful about this. You hope that, and I'm sure, I don't mean you hope, because I'm sure the training staff thinks and the coaching staff feels exactly this way. You want them to be, you know, 100% healthy before they get back on the field, because you just don't want these things recurring. And I'm sure that, you know, the issue with Burnett is, you know, they will ease him back. And but unfortunately, you know, he's going to miss a week here, it looks like.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you get, you know, guys like Terrell Edmonds. Terrell Edmonds some first team snaps and get a long look at him, and some of these other, you know, Nat Burre probably getting some extra time, and of course Jordan Dangerfield on down the depth chart there. But I mean, you signed these guys for a reason, right? You know, the especially a guy like Morgan Burnett, so the sooner you can get him on the field the better, obviously. And yeah, it doesn't look, you know, I think I'll be surprised if he works today. So that means 1/3 of training camp he's essentially missed, you know, after today.
That's funny. I mean, you think about how fast time goes. You know, that tomorrow off, you're back in, or they're 1/3 of the way through their St. Vincent time. For the people who are up there, I'm sure it doesn't feel like it's flying along. But for those of us who aren't there, it is flying along.
Well, I tell you, it's gone by a little bit, even sitting here watching it all transpire on the Twitter machine, and probably Alex can speak to this well. It, you know, the first 4 days have gone by pretty quickly. Now, I'm sure these next this next string of, you know, 4 or 5, obviously going to have a day off in there. We'll see what happens with this. You know, my understanding is it looks, if you look out your window, it's probably looking a little bit nasty up there right now, David. But
it's definitely overcast where I am, so. But, you know, I'd looked at this earlier. Let me just pull up the weather forecast. You know, here it's, you know, over 50% chance of rain starting at 1 o'clock. So, yeah, they might have they'll do a lot of work indoors. We'll see what happens. But it looks like rain. And obviously up there, rain often means thunder and lightning, which, you know, then it's get off the field.
Okay, and, you know, Alex and I have been wrapping up a lot about what's happening on the field. You know, it's still fun to watch who's running where and all. I mean, Artie Burns, I think, you know, a couple of picks so far. It sounds like he's having a good start of camp. They really need this guy to make that next step moving forward. I think one underrated aspect, and we continue to give Bud Dupree a gold star every day, because, David, he's staying on the practice field. And that's something that he's had a problem doing the last couple of training camps. So good to see that as well, too. You know, everybody that's listening to some of these recap shows know the different directions that we go. You can't spend time talking about every player, obviously. But, you know, I'm pleased to hear that it sounds like Artie's having a good camp and all. One other thing is the whole Matakavich versus John Bostic thing. David, I've recapped this in the in a post recently, and Alex and I covered it last night, but maybe you recall the specific being up there being in it at the time, of course, reading the papers every day and listening to the radio every day. If you go back to 2002, we had a similar Matakavich versus Bostic battle during the offseason, and that was between John Fiala and James Ferrier. Fiala, obviously a carryover from the last kind of a few previous seasons there. He was the Tyler Matakavich of the two. He was a special teams demon, much like Matakavich. And then the whole Earl Holmes thing, the Steelers, you know, couldn't come to a contract agreement with Earl Holmes. They decided to just let him go fly away. They signed James Ferrier in that April. I'm sure, to refresh my memory, because I obviously wasn't up there, but what was the sentiment when James Ferrier was signed, if you can remember back that far, was the sentiment that this guy was going to be the starter automatically? Or...
Yeah, I think for sure it was. I'm having trouble remembering an exact moment, but I think for sure it was. At least in my head it was, and I never kind of really talked about it in any other way. But I will tell you, I also thought when Bostic was signed that it was going to be kind of a no-brainer. Look, I kind of dismissed, you know, and I've dismissed it up to this point, really. I've dismissed the fact that Matakevich was running with the first team during minicamp, OTAs, whatever it was. And I said, you know, the first week of camp isn't really going to be that meaningful to me either. Talk to me toward the end of camp and, the first preseason game. Let's see what happens. You know, if they get into the second preseason game, and, you know, who knows how much the starters, the quote, air quote, starters are going to play in those first two games. But if after the second game, Matakevich is still running with the first team, then Matakevich is your first team inside linebacker because, you know, that's long enough. I mean, that will have been enough time. So we'll see where it goes. But as I say, I've been skeptical, but, you know, the longer it goes, obviously the more likely it is.
Now, let me refresh your memory here. You go back and read the archives of Tribb and Post-Gazette and Ed Bouchette and Jerry Dulac. And maybe if you run into Jerry Dulac, you can ask him to recall maybe some of his thoughts, because I've read recently a few articles going back from 2002 on this as well. For the open of the summer and on into training camp, Fiala was actually running ahead of James Ferrier in practices. We're talking about the buck position here and not the Mac position, but, you know, for all practical purposes, we got the same situation on our hand. But Fiala was running ahead of Ferrier for quite a while, and even as training camp was winding down, Ed Bouchette wrote in the Post-Gazette that they really have been about even as far as, you know, running with the first team and all. And let me refresh your memory even further, David. John Fiala started the first preseason game that year in 2002 opposite Kendrell Bell. And I wonder what the sentiment was at that point around the Berg. Yeah, and Steeler fans. What, you signed John? You signed James Ferrier and John Fiala starting this preseason game next to Kendrell Bell. Do you remember any of that?
I don't. I know just Bell's impression in camp was immediate. I mean, yeah, immediate.
Well, he would now remember he Bell. Now that wasn't the angle I was attacking. I was attacking the fact.
No,
that,
I know. I get it, but you know, you have Bell in there, so. You would think, the veteran, I get your point. Yeah, you would think the veteran would be on the field.
And that was Bell's second season, because Bell was drafted in 2001.
Right, and was, you know, what? Was he Defensive Rookie of the Year? Did he actually win that?
What, did he have seven sacks? I mean, yeah, I think he did that year. If not, I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden. Yeah, I think he did. But regardless, I mean, he's coming off of a good year, and then Earl Holmes is sent away, and then Ferrier is signed. AP NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year 2001 for Kendrell Bell. Now, the second preseason game, Ferrier started next to Bell. Okay, so you had a game of Fiala starting next to Bell, then you have a game of Ferrier starting next to Bell, and then something interesting happened, and that's and that was the game, I think, against the Redskins. Kendrell Bell went down with that ankle injury. So the third preseason game, they started both Fiala and Ferrier, had one play in the MAC, had one play in the Buck, and in the next game of the finale against the Minnesota Vikings, both of them started again, and they swapped positions. One playing the MAC and one playing the Buck. And then everybody obviously knows how that turns out. Bill Cowher names Ferrier the starter. Bell comes back, tries to start alongside of him. Bell goes down again, injured, and then it's not even Fiala brought in off the bench. It's rookie Larry Foote. So all of a sudden, I guess what I'm getting at here, David. Now, of course, you have a different head coach at the time in Bill Cowher. There was a lot to be made. Evidently, it'd been interesting to hear archived Kevin Colbert press conferences at the time. But it appeared, though, as John Fiala was going to be given every opportunity to hold on to the job, he didn't. And then lo and behold, he becomes kind of, he continues on special teams. He was a special teams demon his whole time in Pittsburgh. But he kind of slowly vanishes, to the side. And then you get to 2003 and John Fiala's cut in June. So I guess what I'm getting at here is I don't think we can read into anything that happens into the next couple weeks, even in training camp. I would not be shocked if Tyler Matakavich starts the first preseason game ahead of John Bostic. But even then, I think it's going to be one of those too early to call, and I think I'll still be surprised if John Bostic doesn't win this spot.
We're on the same page on this one, for sure. That's exactly how I look at it. I don't know how much you guys have talked about the quarterback situation. I've talked to a couple people who have been up at camp, and obviously Alex has been there. And the people I talked to have said, obviously Landry Jones is, light years ahead of Mason Rudolph, but that's what you'd expect. And just going back to our off-season conversation, this is the only point I was trying to make repeatedly was, at the end of the season, Mason Rudolph may be number two. Look, maybe at the end of the preseason, he'll be number two. But there's just such an incredible advantage for having been in the system for, I don't know what Landry Jones year he's on, his fifth or his sixth. But he knows everything that's going on. He's despite what many people think, he is a capable NFL quarterback in terms of, there being 90 of them. He's in the middle of that list. He's certainly, I think, on the top half of the NFL backups for sure. And so it's not surprising that, at this point in camp, he's looked better. We'll see what happens, but, I don't know if you talked much about that, Dave, but Alex's impressions or thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean he's looked better probably every day moving forward. Slow start obviously, and I don't think anybody's probably talking about him taking over for Landry Jones just yet. 4 days.
A couple people talking about. I saw some people saying. People have been talking about, look, this is not, this again, when you see comments stick out, and it could be the very smallest of percentages. But, I have some people saying, Ben, they expect him to be the guy next year. Move on from Ben. Let's get, because everybody likes the shiny new object, over in the corner there.
I think what you have to watch for during training camp and really in the preseason is how close is the gap at the end of it all between Landry Jones and Mason Rudolph?
It's not going to matter all that much. I mean, Ben takes most of the reps, except on Wednesdays, other guys will get some reps. But what happens for just – let's just assume Ben stays healthy all season. What happens for Mason Rudolph over the course of the 17 weeks and hopefully more for the Steelers – is he gets to watch a game plan get implemented each week, and he gets to see how that works. So the intellectual development will be huge over the course of the 17 weeks. Landry Jones doesn't need any of that. He's seen it for 6 years. He has that. And then, we'll see how the reps go. But obviously early in the season, it's going to be Ben. And I would imagine, my point being, if Ben went down in game one, who gives you a chance? Who gives you a better chance to win in that moment? And I think it's, most likely going to be Landry Jones, which means up until, maybe that changes, Landry Jones is going to get more of the reps in practice than Mason Rudolph. And the reality is just the reality who's ever third is not going to be taking a lot of reps during the week. So I don't think they're going to stunt Mason Rudolph's growth. I mean, we've seen, it's a progression. They're going to pay attention to making sure he develops. But that's just it's the reality of how it goes, and it's because practice time is limited.
That game experience that Landry Jones has really means a lot. And I know people will look back at Roethlisberger and say, "Oh man, look how Roethlisberger just came into the league right away and blew it all."
And handed the ball off.
Yeah, part of during the offseason, I went back and looked at Roethlisberger's first 150 snaps, David. I mean, 100. For first 150 snaps total, he wasn't all that great.
No.
He really wasn't. I mean, you could see him start to progress, I mean, you really could see the and some flashes of the things that we've come to learn from Ben Roethlisberger, you know, Ben being Ben. You could see some of these things start to happen. But if you go back and you watch that 2004 season game by game, oh, Lord. I mean, you're wondering, how in the heck did this team get off to a good start with him? You know,
listen, I'm going to read to you. I mean, this will be fascinating for people to, I think, hear. I'm going to take you through his 14 games and his pass attempts: 20, 22, 25, 21, 25, 24, 18, 16, 21, 20, 17, 19, 28 in a 33-30 win over the New York Giants, and 19. So he had one game in his out of 14 in his rookie season where he threw the ball more than 25 times. I'm just going to amuse myself here. This past season, how many games do you think Ben threw the ball less than 25 times, less than 25 attempts? Well, let's see.
We got
25 in the 1913 win over Kansas City, and that's it. And his numbers last year included a 55 and a 60 and a bunch of 40 pluses. So, you know, it is a different Ben Roethlisberger. It is a different NFL.
Right, and they had a different defense.
Right, right.
They had a good one. I mean, you can't in today's NFL with a young quarterback. 58
playoff game, just to round that number out.
Yeah, look at the Rams last year. I mean, Jared Goff, what, second season? Definitely made some progress, but I mean, their defense was a main reason they were as good as what they were, right?
For sure.
You know, so none of what we're saying is to poo-poo on Mason Rudolph. I mean, look, I watched entirely too much tape on him, and there are a lot.
I think you watch more than Bruce Arians.
I mean, literally with Mason Rudolph. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about with him, but it's going to take time, and it only makes sense, especially with what Landry's making and all like that, for him to be the number two. And I don't know. Are people just most concerned because it means possibly losing Joshua Dobbs? You know?
No, I don't think anybody's. I have not heard that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dave. Josh Dobbs can go to the practice squad, right? He was on the roster all last year, and he dressed for did he dress
one,
any games?
One, right, for the finale.
The Houston game, yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. So the point is, he's eligible for the practice squad. If there's any guy the Steelers cut who might possibly not get through waivers, maybe it's Josh Dobbs. But maybe that might even surprise me. But he might be a guy. Somebody says, "Look, we don't like our third quarterback situation. This guy was in the league with a good team. You know, let's take a flyer on him, and we'll walk around with four quarterbacks for a week or two."
Well, here's the thing: Maybe this is good research. How many teams opened the 2017 season with three quarterbacks on their 53-man roster?
Didn't we look at that last year, and it was a little bit surprising that it wasn't 90%. It was like half.
I mean, it's low. I mean, I think Kevin Colbert has rattled off some numbers before that the Steelers are in the minority when it comes to three quarterbacks, but it's something that they do, right?
Yeah, I think it was half. I mean, obviously everybody's got a third quarterback on the practice squad if you don't have one on the roster, because you can't walk around as an organization with just two quarterbacks. The risk is just too extraordinarily high. But, you know, so you're going to have a third one on the practice squad. And I don't know, Dave, let's actually ask that question right now, because is there room for Josh Dobbs to run the scout team, be on the practice squad for another year? Is that worth, let's say he doesn't, he's fourth and he gets through waivers. Is it worth having him around, or because you have already made the decision that Mason Rudolph is ahead of him, you say no. The flip side being, Landry Jones is in the last year of his contract. If you think Mason Rudolph can make the kind of step forward into the number two over the course of the season, and you say, well, Josh Dobbs is, we don't have to go get another quarterback. He can be our number three next year and go back into that spot. So, you know, he's got to get through waivers, but then we keep him for a year, and he'll get just the same amount of work that he would have otherwise, which is very little, but it'll be in the organization. What do you do?
If you have room for him, great. If he clears waivers, great. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I mean, this is, we're talking about a number three quarterback here, right?
Number four quarterback, really, right?
Well, you're talking about a future potential number three quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're talking about realistically your fourth quarterback this year, because barring something unforeseen, we know who the three are going to be they keep. I mean, is it that big of a loss? I mean, look, I like Dobbs. I think Dobbs did a lot of good things in college. I think he's a very smart kid, but some of that.
Here's the only reason to me it would be a loss is if you're going to move on from Landry Jones at the end of this season, then you're going to have to fill that spot either by drafting a guy or signing a UDFA or a veteran free agent. So you're going to have to fill the hole by using some assets. So that's the only reason to me it would matter is because it answers a question for next year that you don't have to worry about then.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, a fifth round, you know, can you get you a fifth rounder next year that's the equivalent of Dobbs? Can you get you an undrafted free agent worth playing around with for a season? Sure. Can you get you a Bruce Gronkowski Byron Leftwich for the near minimum that the Steelers have did for several years? Yes. The answer to all those questions is yes. So
the only thing I wouldn't want to see him use the draft pick, because I'd rather see them, you know, take flyers on guys like Samuels or whomever you take in the fifth round. So, you know, that would be the silver lining, because you don't have to use a pick.
And after the last three or four years now with them saying we need to get in the process of learning how to evaluate quarterbacks with Ben and blah, 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 they ought to have a pretty good grasp on how they like to evaluate quarterbacks. So that means you can not only evaluate Joshua Dobbs the rest of this year, preseason into the training camp into the preseason, but you can do the same. You can do your due diligence next year during the pre-draft, and you know, maybe there is a seventh rounder, maybe there is a UDFA. Yeah, look, I'm rooting for Joshua Dobbs.
Quarterback in the first three rounds. That's going to tell you something.
No, and look, I'm not going there. Look, deep down inside, I'm rooting for Josh Dobbs to kind of somehow manage to stick around on into 2019. Okay, I'm rooting for that.
Yes.
But I'm not going to get crushed, you know?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Well said.
I mean, look, and honestly, if you're a GM front office personnel, and let's remove half the teams out of this equation because they're just not going to carry three quarterbacks on a 53. For those that even do carry three on the 53, are you going to trip over yourself to bring in a quarterback that's going to have to learn? I mean, are you going to take up a valuable roster spot for a guy that's going to hold the clipboard for you and be inactive all season?
No, it'd just be, you know, like the Browns last year. You know, they carried four for a while because they didn't have any. You know, they're trying to figure it out. So there might be a team out there that says, you know, whatever, we don't like what we have, and you know, we'll put them on. But you know, look, we've beaten this one. We crushed it.
Here are your and they did. You're right. They did open up let's see, it was Kaiser Hogan.
Kid from USC they had in the fourth round.
Kessler. And that's it. They only had three on their 53 man roster.
And then they added another one, right?
Did they later in the season?
They did. The big armed kid. They had four, they were carrying four for a while. Trust me on that one.
Let's look at their final game. It was Kaiser, Hogan, Kessler. They closed out the season with three on the 53. Talking about the Browns here.
Yeah, I'll take a look. Go ahead. Give me our next topic.
Antonio Brown wants Dez Bryant. David, they should sign him. They should sign him for the minimum. There's no such thing as a bad 1-year minimum contract, David. They need Dez Bryant.
You almost baited me with my line of no such thing as a bad 1-year deal. Okay, let's just get this over with. Dez Bryant's not going to be part of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How are we doing on that?
Yeah, you passed. nor should they. What the hell? I'm glad AB's not making personnel decisions for the Steelers. Really, people would be rooting for such a thing to happen. I mean, here we are 5 days removed from him jumping the gun on Stephen Jones, even being misquoted on Sirius and taking shots at his former team. You really want a guy like Dez Bryant brought in? I mean, give me a break here. So I think that's all we got on that topic, right?
Yes, it is.
Anything else you think we need to get to here? I mean, I think we've beat this. I mean, we spent a lot of time on the whole Foster thing and all, and injuries, and we talked about the battle there at inside linebacker. So I think we got this one pretty well wrapped up, Dave. We'll be back on Wednesday anyway to talk about what we may have missed here. If anybody has any thoughts on what David said about the advertising and income and all, send us an email, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and you want to donate to the cause, go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit that donate button up right navigational bar, and that's what I get. That's all I got until Wednesday, David.
And the fourth quarterback I was thinking of, Brock Osweiler, was with the Browns for a little bit of that time, so they were carrying him into camp. But he moved on from him. So as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with David and Dave.